Welcome to the Liverpool Village Walking Tour. Turn the calendar back to the 19th century. The booming salt industry brought the construction of impressive houses that still stand in the village of Liverpool. The Liverpool Village Walking Tour is collaboratively produced by Liverpool Public Library and the Village of Liverpool Historian's Office. This tour takes you past historic houses and buildings, talks about the families that lived inside them, and describes the styles that still peek out at you today. Stroll, imagine, and enjoy, but please stay on the sidewalk. The tour begins at Liverpool Public Library at 310 Tulip Street. The library began in 1822 as a private subscription library, and you could join for $2 paid in cash or books. It was dissolved in 1843, but another was started under the Board of Education about the same time. Management was transferred to the Liverpool Public Library Board in 1893. In 1974, the library opened this building, a fine new structure built on the site of the 1848 Liverpool Union School. Today, the library has vast holdings including DVDs, magazines, music CDs, audiobooks, and a huge collection of books in both paper and electronic formats. More than 290,000 people come through the doors annually, and over 700 programs are offered yearly for adults, teens, and children. The library has an extensive physical and electronic local history collection. Now you may exit the library on 2nd Street or Route 370. Look across the street. Stop 1, Johnson Park. Johnson Park was laid out as a public space by New York State when the village was first surveyed. It's named for James Johnson, an early settler whose house overlooked the park from 2nd Street. Johnson was a gruff-mannered but respected man who made a considerable amount of money as a builder. Early Liverpool settlers used the park as a cemetery. The cemetery was moved to its current location near Tulip and 5th Street in about 1848. The first two Liverpool schoolhouses were built in Johnson Park, one in about 1807 and another in 1827. Head east on 2nd Street to the corner of 2nd and Vine Streets. Stop 2, Fargo House at 201 2nd Street. The brick Italianate house at 201 2nd Street was built about 1860 as an investment by Miles Fargo, who ran a sash and blind factory and a livery stable in the neighborhood. Turn right and continue to the corner of Vine and 1st Streets. Look down the street to the left. Stop 3, the Business District at 215 and 217 1st Street. The blue brick building at 215 1st Street dates to the early 1870s. It has held stores and apartments since P.M. Daniel constructed it. The pink building at 217 1st Street was the William Passmore Blacksmith Shop, a pre-Civil War building. The Passmore residence was a little cottage set back from the street next door to the shop. A coal yard, willow steamer, basket warehouse, barrel stave factory, and canal inlet where boats were repaired were located at one time further down 1st Street. Look kitty corner from where you are standing at the house at 223 1st Street. Stop 4, the Frank Beauty Williams House at 223 1st Street. This site is said to be the site of the first tavern in the village, built by John Danforth in 1796. The site indeed held taverns until 1873, when the Globe Hotel, a massive three-story frame building, was constructed. The Globe burned in about 1900. It was the stagecoach stop to downtown Syracuse. John was the brother of Asa Danforth, who came to Onondaga in 1788. Asa became a superintendent of the Onondaga Salt Springs Reservation and presided at the first town meeting, which was held at his home in April 1798. He was a member of the Assembly in 1801 and 1802, and was a New York State Senator in 1803. Now look across the street. Stop 5, Nichols Liquor Store at 301 1st Street. This building was originally three stories tall. The brick came from a brickyard behind the bright blue commercial building. It was built as a double storefront with residences over the stores. In the 1920s, it housed a silent movie theater and later a tavern. The top two stories have been removed. Next door was yet another tavern, circa 1839, last known as Tarby's Restaurant in the 20th century. Turn right and head west toward Tulip Street. Stop 6, the Village Mall. The construction of this complex removed a significant portion of the 19th century neighborhood in 1968. Houses and businesses, including a former doctor's office and a barber shop, were removed in this mini urban renewal, reflecting a movement popular in the 1960s that, at its worst, destroyed neighborhoods and divided cities. Continue west down First Street. Stop 7, Nichols Supermarket at 327 First Street. Across the street, what is now Nichols parking lot was densely built up with homes and businesses. The Nichols family ran grocery stores in Liverpool at several locations. The store at this location burned in 1953 but reopened the following year. When the Hennigan family bought the business in 1959, the deal was sealed with a handshake and they kept the Nichols name. Continue down the street to the tall brick building on the corner of Tulip and First Streets. Stop 8, Many Faces Over Time, 331st Street. The brick office building on the corner of First and Tulip has a cellar dating to 1832 when it was part of the E.H. Aiken store. In 1839, a local Patriot Lodge chapter met here to plan strategy, manufacture ammunition, and drink from Aiken's barrel of port wine in the cellar. The Patriots' War was an unsanctioned and unsuccessful attempt to liberate Canada from the British. After a doomed battle in Prescott, Ontario, some of the Liverpool participants were executed and others were shipped to the British penal colony in Tasmania, on the other side of the world. One of the exiled men was Nate Whiting. It was assumed that he would never return, and his wife, Rhoda Tolles, back in Liverpool, was free by law to remarry. Rhoda proceeded to rebuild her life, marrying Richard Goodwin and having two children. Things got complicated, and when prisoners were pardoned in 1849, Nate hitchhiked his way back around the world on whaling ships and miraculously returned to Liverpool. Meanwhile, Richard Goodwin died. Rhoda and Nate are buried together in Liverpool Cemetery. From about 1847 to 1905, this building was owned by the Gleason family. It was rebuilt in 1854 and again in 1873 in Italianate commercial style. This style is marked by the tall, square shape, flat roof, and eave brackets. Another project about 40 years ago put the modern storefront and the metal bands on the facade. Look across First Street to the barbershop adjacent to Nichols. Stop 9, Boyden Wagon Works at 329 First Street. The building at 329 First Street has been greatly altered. It dates from about 1840. It housed the Boyden Wagon Works in the mid-19th century. A building previously to the right of it held the salt inspector's office in the village hall. Behind this office was the jail and firehouse. In the early 1800s, a large boarding house called the Arcade occupied the corner of Tulip and Brow Streets. Brow runs between the park and First Street between Vine and Sycamore. Cross Tulip Street to the Cobblestone Tavern at 400 First Street. Stop 10, the Cobblestone Tavern at 400 First Street. Built in 1839 for Jonathan Hicks in Greek Revival style, this establishment has been welcoming guests continuously since its construction. Jonathan Hicks was an early settler, coming to Liverpool prior to 1822, when he started a store on the site of 425 First Street for the growing community. The cobblestone changed hands and names frequently over the years, and owning or managing this tavern had been a steady village occupation. An earlier building, a grocery store run by War of 1812 veteran William Wentworth, was demolished to construct the tavern. The Cobblestone was a hotel for much of its existence, renting rooms on the second floor until relatively late in the 20th century. A livery stable occupied today's parking lot on the Tulip Street side of the building. Look across First Street at the brick building at 401 First Street. Stop 11. Freedom of Espresso and Luxury Apartments at 401 First Street. This double-brick commercial Italianate building was constructed for the Thomas Hand Dry Goods and Grocery Store in about 1865, with meeting rooms on the upper floors. Various older small houses had to be moved to other sites in the village to construct this building. The cellar had built-in stone containers where eggs were put in water glass, called silica, to preserve them for sale. Continue west down First Street. Stop 12, Jonathan Hicks' house, 404 and 406 First Street. This is Jonathan Hicks' house, constructed in about 1830, some 9 years before his cobblestone tavern next door. Hicks prospered from the salt industry and other ventures and was a major contributor to his church, Liverpool First Presbyterian, and the community. A letter from his brother was found in the attic of this house, urging Hicks to leave the community in 1832 because of a terrible cholera epidemic. Hicks stayed and survived. About 10% of the local population were not so lucky. Continue down First Street. Stop to look across to 419 First Street, fourth house from Freedom of Espresso. Stop 13. The Dr. John Young House at 419 First Street. This Greek Revival-style house dates to about 1840. In 1873, when Dr. John Young purchased and renovated the house, the local paper congratulated him for fixing up such an eyesore. At about that time, Young divided the lot and the Italianate-style house to the right was built. Dr. Young was a Civil War veteran who was instrumental in starting the local Grand Army of the Republic chapter, the Civil War Veterans Organization. Young saw active duty in several battles. At the Second Battle of Bull Run, he was shot in the head, the ball remaining for 4 days. He also took one ball to the shoulder, two through his left arm, another in his left leg, and suffered a fractured foot. He survived and enjoyed a thriving practice until his death in 1912. Young was a homeopathic physician. Homeopathy was based on the belief that a substance that causes a specific symptom in a healthy person can relieve the same symptom in a sick person if consumed at a very low dose. Continue west down First Street. Stop to look across the street to the house on the corner at 425 First Street. Stop 14, the Canaler's house at 425 First Street. This house was a modest version of the Greek Revival style popular in America from about 1820 to 1860 and was probably built around 1825. You can see the returns at the eaves, stylistic echoes of the pediment on a Greek temple. These houses often have interior gutters in the corners that funneled water to a basement cistern. They usually have a two-story upright section and a wing on the back or side that held the summer kitchen, isolated to keep the house cool in warm weather. Shutters provided additional security and climate control. Locally, houses of this type were sometimes called Canaler's houses because the interior staircases are plain, steep, and narrow like the ladder on a canal boat. The house originally belonged to David Brown, who ran a canal grocery in 1840. Later, this house was the Joseph Schaefer home. Schaefer was a willow basket weaver, a trade that came to Liverpool with German immigrants in the mid-1850s. Schaefer was recorded as weaving 150 baskets in a 6-day period. Next door on the left is Schaefer's workshop, now converted to an apartment. At the height of the basket industry in the 1890s, Liverpool weavers produced 3/4 of all the laundry baskets used in the United States, made from little shops like this. Look down Sycamore Street toward the lake. At the bottom of this hill was a bridge over the Oswego Canal, which was a social center of the village. There was a grist mill and later an ice house here, and even a short-lived amusement park venture. Continue down First Street. Cross Sycamore Street and stop at 201 Sycamore Street, the corner house. Stop 15, the James Duell House, at 201 Sycamore Street. Like many of their contemporaries, James Duell and his brother Silas were active in Liverpool's salt industry. In 1788, two Revolutionary War veterans, Asa Danforth and Comfort Tyler, came to the area and with the help of the Onondaga erected the first salt works. In 1806, the first salt well was dug. The brine came from springs around Onondaga Lake, but the lake itself is a freshwater lake. Liverpool produced salt for 138 years. Liverpool salt was instrumental in keeping the Union Army fed during the Civil War. Some said it was Onondaga Salt Works, not Union Arms, that won the war. In 1908, the state decided to auction off the Salt Springs Reservation as a result of declining business because of new salt deposits found in the West. Thomas Gale produced the last barrel of salt in 1926. The salt industry directly caused the development of other industries in the Liverpool area, including basket weaving, blacksmithing, and coopering. Barrels were needed for the shipping of the salt. James Doole's large house was constructed in 1830 and is one of the oldest standing houses in the village. It has been heavily renovated. One clue to its age, however, is the house's orientation to the street, with the main entrance in the middle of the long axis and the gabled ends at the sides. A bit later in architectural history, the common orientation is the gabled end facing the street. Continue on First Street to 518 First Street at the corner of Balsam and First. Note that the backyards of the 500 and 600 blocks of First Street faced the Oswego Canal, and there were boat works all along this stretch behind the houses. Stop 16, the Moses Folger House in Balsam Street at 518 First Street. This house was built before 1850 on the site of a circa 1808 double log cabin. Mr. Folger, like many of his Liverpool contemporaries, was a salt manufacturer. This block of Balsam Street is probably the oldest settled site in the village. A natural spring encouraged the early settlers to build a cluster of log dwellings in a tavern back around 1795. The number of taverns steadily grew with the community. In the mid-1850s, the Liverpool Village Board issued 36 liquor licenses for a village that was then, as now, about 1 square mile. When you go home, you may want to raise a toast to those settlers. Turn right on Balsam and proceed to the corner of Balsam and 2nd Streets. Stop 17, the Haunted Tavern, at 419 2nd Street. At this intersection stood the heart of the earliest Liverpool settlement. A natural spring that surfaced in this area provided a convenient source of fresh water for early cabins. The large brick house on your right, at 419 2nd, stands on the site of a pre-1810 tavern made of planks instead of logs, one of the first plank buildings. By the 1840s, the tavern was so dilapidated it was said to be haunted, and children hurried past this corner. The current home is an Italianate-style home popular among prosperous Liverpudlians from the late 1850s to the 1880s. Peter Michel, and later Alonzo Goddard, who owned the Globe Hotel on First Street, resided here. When facing 419 2nd Street, look one house down on the left at 415 2nd Street. Stop 18, the Dowd and Crawford homes at 415 2nd Street. This Italianate house dates back to about 1860. George Dowd was a skilled carpenter and turner who moved here from Otisco in 1858 to work on the Gleason house at 314 2nd Street. He was the craftsman responsible for the fine woodwork in many of the 1860s houses that Salt built, when salt production was at its height and Liverpool prospered. Looking across 2nd Street to the left are two 1870s Italianate townhouses that belonged to Jasper Crawford Sr. and his son, Amos H. Crawford. Amos was a creative entrepreneur who owned the grist mill and the amusement park down by the lake. His local newspaper columns are the source of much information and folklore about the village. Cross 2nd Street and stop at the house on the corner, number 412. Be careful of the traffic. It's faster now than it was in the 1800s. Stop 19, the Corker, at 412 2nd Street. This huge white house was built for the Willis McCord family in 1893. The style is Queen Anne Revival, characterized by the tower and much gingerbread. This house was constructed by Liverpool builder James Griffin Miller, 1840 to 1920, who was responsible for several other substantial houses within a few blocks of this one. Frank Gleason referred to the McCord House as a corker at its construction. Continue to 206 Balsam Street. Stop 20, Phineas Camp, at 206 Balsam Street. 206 and 207, across the street, are among the oldest standing structures in the village, possibly dating back to around 1820. The first minister to the Presbyterian congregation, Phineas Camp, lived at 206 Balsam. Mr. Camp came to Liverpool in 1828, a period of religious revival sponsored by the American Home Missionary Society. At the corner of Balsam and 3rd Streets, cross 3rd Street and turn right. Stop 21, James Griffin Miller House at 206 3rd Street. This is builder James Griffin Miller's own house. Griffin's house at 206 3rd Street is more modest than some of his others, but notice the hint of gingerbread on the trim. Miller had a long Liverpool career, dying in 1920 at the age of 80. Proceed to the corner of 3rd and Sycamore Streets. Look at 200 3rd Street. Stop 22, Lacey House at 200 3rd Street. Built circa 1860, this Italianate brick house was the home of Azuba Gleason Lacey and her husband Anson Lacey. The Lacys were quite wealthy in their own right, as well as through their membership in the Gleason clan. Their son Henry, unlike many third-generation heirs, managed to hold on to the family wealth and assumed control of the Third National Bank in Syracuse, originally founded by his uncle Lucius. Henry did not live in Liverpool, but rather at Lacey Place in Syracuse off Washington Square on the city's north side. Cross 3rd Street onto Sycamore Street and stop at 201 3rd Street. Stop 23, William Gleason Jr. House at 201 3rd Street. Another Griffin Miller Queen Anne Revival house, this home belonged to William A. Gleason. Young William was the son of William Gleason, one of 11 children of Era and Mary Gleason, who married in Liverpool in 1819. This family became icons for their fellow villagers as the example of the American success story, that you can start with nothing, and with smarts and hard work, succeed mightily. The Gleasons ran a boarding house, worked at overland transport, canal shipping, salt, merchandising, banking, and real estate. William Gleason turned this house over to his son, William A. Gleason, a third-generation Gleason who promptly mortgaged it to the hilt to support his lavish lifestyle. Proceed down Sycamore to 309 Sycamore Street. Stop 24, William Gleason Sr. House at 309 Sycamore Street. William Gleason Sr. was a Civil War veteran who saw to the family's coal interests in Elmira, where he met his wife, Cornelia. They returned to Liverpool and joined the family compound in this block of Sycamore Street when they purchased this house. Both the house and its carriage house retained the fashionable cupola. The carriage house was moved from the lot on the corner when the Queen Anne Revival House was built. Throughout the 1800s, it was quite common to move buildings. Although moving a building involved ox and horsepower, there weren't any of those modern conveniences such as power, gas, and water lines to worry about. Continue on Sycamore Street toward 2nd Street, pausing at 305 Sycamore Street. Stop 25, unique in the village. 305 Sycamore Street. A different style for James Griffin Miller, this house was built in 1888 at the beginning of the Queen Anne Revival period and features elaborate brickwork in a style that is unique in the village. This house was built for Carolyn Gleason Alvord, another Gleason sibling, and her husband Frank Alvord. Some of their descendants still live in the village. Look across Sycamore Street. Stop 26, Carriage House. The building across the street, which now houses the Village Hall and Police Department, was the original carriage house for the Gleason Mansion, just to the south. When the village seized the Gleason property for back taxes in 1938, it became the new home of the Village Fire Department. Continue to the corner of 2nd and Sycamore Streets, and look across the street to the right at 403 2nd Street. Stop 27, famous architect, famous citizen, 403 2nd Street. This gray house was the home of Frank Miller, 1879 to 1968, one of the officers of the Miller Paper Company in Syracuse. The house was designed by Ward Wellington Ward in 1920. Ward was a prominent arts and crafts architect whose own home on Old Liverpool Road later became a restaurant named Lemoyne Manor, in honor of the Jesuit missionary who came to Liverpool in 1654. Although born and schooled in Boston, Ward moved to the Syracuse area with his bride Maud Moyer, whose father was a wealthy carriage and early automobile manufacturer and who owned a Holstein dairy cattle farm in Liverpool. Between 1901 and 1926, Ward designed 4 factories, a Masonic lodge, 2 fraternity houses, a creamery, several camps, two automobile showrooms, an apartment building, and more than 200 private residences. Approximately 100 of his buildings still exist in the greater Syracuse area. He also designed homes in Rochester and Utica, some of which are still standing. His residences have been referred to as small houses made into art because of his attention to detail, the handcrafted lighting fixtures and decorative tiles he chose, as well as the incorporation of stained and leaded glass and fine woodwork. Ward's life was tragically cut short at the age of 57 after spending the last 6 years of his life at Willard State Hospital. Cross Sycamore and look across the street at the house at 313 Second Street on the corner of Sycamore and Second Streets. Stop 28, relocated house at 313 Second Street. It is said that the wing on this modest house was part of the original Gleason homestead. In 1858, it was often cheaper to move buildings and parts of buildings than to construct them of new lumber. Another piece of the homestead is said to have been moved around the corner to a modest house that still stands on 3rd Street. From where you are, turn around and look back at the brick house on the diagonal opposite corner of 2nd and Sycamore Streets. Stop 29, Bassett House at 215 Sycamore Street. This is another Italianate house that Salt built. This house dates from around 1862. It was built for George Bassett, who was very active in the salt industry. Bassett was also involved in cigar manufacturing. Today we think of tobacco as a southern crop, but at the time there were many tobacco farms in the area, especially along Cold Springs Road to Baldwinsville. This house, like the Gleason House diagonally across the street, has a front door surrounded by brightly colored and patterned flash glass. This was an expensive feature, as each color is baked into the glass separately, and each pass through the kiln risks breakage. The house was also a bed and breakfast at one time. Consider the mansion you are standing in front of at 314 Second Street. Stop 30, the Gleason Mansion at 314 Second Street. This is the Lucius Gleason House, which was built on the site of his parents' early homestead in 1858. This Italianate stucco-on-brick house is the only building in the village listed on the National and State Registers of Historic Places. The architect is unknown, and it may be that Lucius Gleason, who trained as a civil engineer, may have used one of the house plan books popular in his day to direct skilled local builders. George Dowd crafted the staircase, which is still intact. The color is close to the original, and many architectural details remain. This house passed from the hands of Gleason descendants to the village of Liverpool in 1938 because of back taxes. It was the village hall and civic center until 1988. Today, it houses the Liverpool Village Museum, the Greater Liverpool Chamber of Commerce, and several small businesses. Continue east down 2nd Street a few steps. Stop 31, Liverpool Willow Museum. This little building is the Hearst Basket Shop. It was constructed in the 1880s and moved here from Oswego Street in 1991. There is a video of the moving of this shop in the Liverpool Public Library Local History Collection. It is typical of the Liverpool Basket Weaver's Workshops and offers a wonderful glimpse into Liverpool's past. Basket willow for the Liverpool willow basket industry was cultivated in local swampy areas and more distant communities along the Erie Canal, such as Lyons in Port Byron, New York. The salt workers in Liverpool made baskets in the winter when there wasn't any work. The most common type of basket made was the laundry basket. At its peak in 1892, around 360,000 baskets were shipped across the country from Liverpool. As the industry grew, different types of baskets, including utilitarian market baskets, sewing baskets, and clothes hampers were made. Some weavers made more elaborate objects such as bassinets and elaborate furniture. These items were simply called fancyware. The Liverpool industry faded in the face of cheaper foreign-made objects and more lucrative employment in Syracuse's growing industries, but a few weavers remained active into the 1960s. The Willow Museum is open in the summer on Saturdays and Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. Tours can also be arranged by contacting the Liverpool Village Historian. Continue to 306 Second Street. Stop 32, Hasbrouck House, at 306 Second Street. The house at 306 Second Street is another brick Italianate. This house occupies the site of several smaller, older houses and is about the same age as its neighbor, the Gleason House. It belonged to the Hasbroucks, who settled here from Dutchess County in 1829. Both the Gleason and the Hasbrouck houses were considered very modern when they were constructed. Continue east to the corner of Tulip and 2nd Streets to 300 2nd Street. Stop 33. A president slept here. 300 2nd Street. John Paddock, who lived from 1805 to 1880, was a farmer and merchant, and bought this property in 1830. The site had a well-established trading post that served canal builders, salt boilers, and Native Americans. The house, constructed perhaps around the core of the older building in the early 1850s, has had several additions over the years. John Paddock came to Liverpool from Jefferson County in 1826 to manufacture salt. He was a member of the first village board of trustees in 1830 and president of the village in 1833. From 1830 until 1925, the village did not have an elected mayor. Instead, voters elected trustees who chose a president from among their numbers to preside over the meetings. It is now the Maurer Funeral Home. Cross 2nd Street to Key Bank. Stop 34, Liverpool Bank at 301 2nd Street. Built in 1930 on the site of a large 1830 house, the Liverpool Bank was founded by a group of Liverpool men who dared to start banking business during the Great Depression. In essence, their money was worth more here than Uncle Sam's. This bank was among the first in the Depression-era America to issue scrip, and samples of the Liverpool variety are now in the Smithsonian collection. Local merchants bought the scrip at face value from the bank in denominations of $1, 50 cents, and 25 cents. When you shopped with these merchants, you could receive scrip as change to spend in the village. $1 worth of scrip bought $1.05 in local merchandise, 50 cents worth bought 52 cents, and 25 cents bought 26 cents worth of merchandise. It is now Key Bank. From the corner by the bank, look down the street toward the lake. Stop 35, remnants of the Canal Business District. On the left, this brick building at 306 Tulip Street and the two-story building next door have held various commercial ventures, including a pharmacy and a pool hall since the 1850s. Return to the library and you are finished with the tour. For more information on the Liverpool Public Library, the Liverpool Village Museum and Historian's Office, and the Liverpool Willow Museum, please continue to listen. The Liverpool Village Historian's Office and the Liverpool Public Library are dedicated to preserving the history of Liverpool Village and the surrounding areas. The library has a collection of local history DVDs, an online collection of first-person historical interviews, a digital image collection, and other local history materials. Visit the library or our website at lpl.org for more information. Currently, the Village Historian's Office and the library also have a self-guided walking tour of Civil War veterans buried in the Village Cemetery, located off Tulip Street between 5th and 6th Streets. Developed with the Rotary Club, you can pick up the Civil War veterans' gravesites in the Liverpool Cemetery booklet at the library or the Historian's Office. The Liverpool Village Museum and Historian's Office are located in the Gleason Mansion at 314 2nd Street in the Village of Liverpool, New York. The collection includes artifacts, photographs, and information about people, places, and events of Liverpool, New York. Exhibits change periodically. Information resources at the Historian's Office are open to students, family history researchers, and anyone interested in local history. The Historian also gives talks and tours to school classes and organizations. The Liverpool Willow Museum on the lawn of the Gleason Mansion is open on Saturdays and Sundays throughout the summer from 2 o'clock p.m. to 4 o'clock p.m. Thank you for participating in the Liverpool Village Walking Tour.